Go with me to the book of Luke, chapter 7. Luke, chapter 7. I want you to read these verses with me, this story. Luke, chapter 7, verse 16 through 23. Luke 7, 16. There came a fear on all. The Lord had just raised the son of only son of a widow woman from the dead. There came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. And this rumor, this story of him went forth throughout all Judea, throughout all the region round about. And the disciples of John showed him all of these things. John was in prison. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, asking him, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And when the men came, they came to Christ, and they said, John the Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And in that same hour, he, the Lord, cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits. And the many that were blind, he gave sight. Oh, that he would do that in this hour. And then Jesus answered and said unto them, go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard. How that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. And blessed is he or she, whosoever shall not be offended in me. If I had a text, it would be verse 23, the title, blessed if not offended in him. Now, our Lord had just raised a man from the dead. And it says fear came upon all of them. Can you imagine? Just try to imagine. We can't. But if we saw someone literally raised from the dead right before our eyes, it's fear. They were just overwhelmed with it. Was just a frightening thing. This person got up, dead. This was not fear of God. It's not fear of God that they had. This was just something to scare them. And they said, God hath visited us, the great prophet. God hath visited his people. Now, you would think something like that happening, that it would have started a huge revival. And the rumor went everywhere. And they did flock to hear him. They came from everywhere. In John chapter 2, you don't have to turn, I'll turn for you, but over in John chapter 2, we'll turn that. I want you to read it. John chapter 2, everywhere our Lord went, multitudes followed him. And so many claimed to believe in him. All right? And let me go ahead and tell you that 3 years later, everybody cried out for his death. Herod, Pontius Pilate, the people, the Jews, Gentiles, everybody was there. A multitude of people were crying out for his death. Now, John 2, verse 23, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. See that? Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. They were just enamored with, impressed with, and amazed by the miracle. And he didn't need any should testify, not that any should testify of man. He knew what was in man. What's that? Unbelief. He really didn't need a Savior. Man just wants a sugar daddy, as it were. Give us, give us, give us, give us. And in John chapter 6, our Lord said this, in John chapter 6, great multitudes followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And he left. He got out. One time they tried to make him king. Remember that? They wanted to make him king, but it says he passed through the midst of them. He's not going to let them make him king. Why? He already was king. He didn't need for him to sit on a throne in Jerusalem. He's not coming back again to sit on a throne in Jerusalem. He's seated right now at the highest throne in the universe, reigning and ruling. And he is king of kings already. But they were impressed with these miracles. And then and now, people want to see a sign, a miracle. And when they think they see a sign or a miracle, and God does send some things, but First Thessalonians said, strong delusions. They believe a lie because they don't believe God's word. All right? Our Lord said, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. He said, no sign will be given. Didn't it? No sign be given but one. What was it? You remember? The sign of the prophet Jonas. As our Lord said it, as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. He's talking about Christ crucified. This is the sign, the sign. A virgin shall conceive. That king said, show us a sign. He said, I'll show you a sign. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And his name is Emmanuel, God with us. A child is born, a son is given. Call his name Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, his government, no end. It's all on his shoulders. Salvation, everything. God was manifest in the flesh. This is a sign. God was manifest in the flesh. And all that he said were the words of God. But men, not interested. Not interested then, not interested now. Show us a sign. Show us a sign. Luke chapter 16. Go over there. Luke chapter 16. Our Lord said this. He's told this story of a rich man and a poor man. A rich man and a beggar named Lazarus. You remember this? Luke 16 verse 27. The rich man was in hell. And Lazarus was in heaven. The poor man. And the rich man in hell said in verse 27, now this is a parable, because nobody praised Abraham. And all right, verse 27. I pray thee, Father, you would send him to my father's house. I have five brethren. Send Lazarus to my father's house that he may testify unto them, lest they come to this place of torment. This man's not sorry for his sin. He's tormented. He wants out. He wants to keep his brethren from coming in. Verse 29. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses, the word of God, the prophets. Let them hear them. And the rich man said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. They see this miracle, this sign, they'll repent. He said unto them, our Lord said, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. No. And our Lord in another place said, Moses wrote of me. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. It's all concerning Christ. As I said, in another place he said, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. Now these people, go back to the text now, Luke chapter 7. These people saw this dead man raised from the grave. And they said, it's a great prophet. And more than that. They said, God hath visited his people. Yes, he has. They really didn't know what they were saying. Do you see any of these people falling at his feet in fear and asking him for mercy and forgiveness of sin? That's what will happen when you understand the true and living God. You'll understand something of yourself, your sinfulness against God, and your need for mercy. Do you see any of these people? Do you hear any of these people falling at his feet? Like Mary Magdalene fell at his feet and bathed his feet with the tears and wiped his feet with the hair of her head. Why? Because of her sin. Simon Peter dropped to his knees when he found out who he was. He said, Lord, I'm a sinful man. Depart from me. Thomas fell at his feet, my Lord and my God. These people aren't saying that. They're just all carried away with this miracle and had God's with us and all that, just like a Pentecostal holiness meeting going on today. Everywhere. God had visited his people. God was manifest in the flesh. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. And you know, there are so few people, there were few people then and even fewer today that believe that Jesus is God. I don't just mean the Son of God. I mean God. One time he healed a man who was lame, born lame, and he said, the first thing he said to him was, thy sins be forgiven thee. And they said, who can forgive sins but God? That's right. And that's why he came. These miracles and all, healing the lepers and the blind and the deaf and raising the dead, were pictures of a greater miracle. The miracle of salvation. Alright? Alright, now this is all related. This is all related. Luke chapter 7, go back there. This is all related. The disciples of John showed him all these things. Verse 18. And John is in prison. Why was John in prison? For preaching the truth. And our Lord said, you shall be hated of all men. He called sin, sin. And Herod didn't like it. Put him in prison. John was preaching against sin, wasn't he? Repentance toward God. And faith. Behold the Lamb of God. Faith in Christ. That's what he was repeating. That's what Christ came. Repentance. He preached repentance of sin. That's what the prophet preached. Repentance of sin. That God is angry with the wicked every day. And what man needs, though he doesn't know it, is mercy. At the hands of a holy and offended and a just God who will by no means clear the guilty. And Christ came to clear the guilty. Christ came to make his people righteous. Christ came to pay the penalty for their sin. Christ came to put away sin by the sacrifice himself. Christ didn't come here just to heal people, their bodies, because they got sick and died of something afterward. But all that's a picture, a type, a symbol of the great miracle of salvation. This is why Christ came in this world. And this is the miracle all of God's people experience. This is what Jesus Christ does for all of his people. He does all of these things that he did for all of these people right here in this story. Every son of God is born dead, blind, deaf, lame, leper. All right? John is a man. John the Baptist is a man. He's subject to doubts and fears like any man, okay? He needed some reassurance. He's in prison for telling the truth, for preaching the truth. And he gets doubtful and fearful just like us, though he had the Holy Spirit. That's comfort in it to know. It is. And he sent two of his disciples and to ask Christ, are you the one we're looking for? Are you the Christ we're looking for? Or do we look for another? Is there someone else coming? And they came to Christ and told him that. And in another gospel, he says, you go show John again. I'm not sure what all John saw Christ do earlier on. But he certainly heard. And he knew and he believed that Jesus of Nazareth was indeed the Christ who was to come, the Son of the living God, the Lord God, come the Lamb of God. All right. He said, you go show John again. And I'm going to show John again. John, we have three Johns. And you're going to hear the same thing you've heard over and over again. Maybe somebody in here hadn't heard this thing. These Johns have many times. But he told me to go show you again. The same thing. The things you've seen and heard. Because this is still going on today, right now in our midst. All right, he said, you go show John. And verse 21, that same hour, he waited a little while he did these miracles. Many were cured of their infirmities and plagues and evil spirits. How long did that take? And many were blind, he gave sight. He said, you go your way, verse 22, and tell John what things you've seen and heard, how that the blind see. And the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached, and blessed, oh blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. You go show John again that the blind see. Look at John chapter 9. John chapter 9 is the story of a blind man whom the Lord healed. John chapter 9. Now most people, if you said they were blind, if you told them they were blind, that they couldn't see the truth, couldn't see themselves, couldn't see God, oh, I'm not blind. I was talking to a man one time working on the railroad, and this fellow was he was notoriously sinful, known by all the guys on the railroad as just being a real wild man, okay? And I was talking to him about the gospel. I was telling him about salvation, about Christ. And I spoke a little while, and he said, do you see? He said, oh, I see. He didn't see anything. I see. John chapter 9, look at this, verse 39. Our Lord said, Jesus said, for judgment I am coming to this world. Judgment? You know, that most people think Christ came because he loved everybody so much and he just wants to save everybody so much. And he said, I have come to bring sword, fire, judgment. For judgment have I come. Why? Because if Jesus Christ doesn't bear our judgment, our sin, we will. But judgment, I'm coming this world. And to bring forth righteous judgment or understanding or discernment of who God is and what God really thinks about man, it's evil continually from his youth up, and what God must do to spare this sinful man. Verse 39, for judgment I'm coming to this world that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees heard him and said, are we blind? Well, we know the Bible. They could quote the Bible. Jesus Christ is the Bible. He's called the Word of God. He's standing right in front of them. The Bible. God. They didn't recognize him. They didn't believe him. Oh, we know the Bible. We know Moses. Moses wrote of me, Christ said. Are we blind? Yes. Everybody's born that way. Verse 41. Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, you should have no sin. What's that mean? Do you know what that means? That man in John 9 over there, he said, I know this. I don't know much. Now, he was born blind. And then when Christ came, And blind means you can't see yourself, you can't see others, you can't see beauty, you can't see danger, you can't see God, you can't see His creation, you can't see His anything, you can't see it, you're blind. Blind means blind. Not nearsighted, blind. But when Christ came and opened His eyes, who was the first person He saw? He saw Himself. He saw everything around it, blind. And that blind man later, he said, I don't know much, but this one thing I do know. I was blind, and now I see. Well, who did it? He did it. All right, here's what I'm trying to say. And our Lord said, blessed is he who's not offended in me. He came to give sight to the blind. Salvation is a revelation. Salvation is a revelation. No man can see God, hath seen God at any time. Salvation is a revelation, the truth of revelation that God has to give eyes to see. That offends man's wisdom. I can figure this thing out. There's a bunch of people who know something about Calvinism. And they just consider it a higher form of doctrine. You're not educated in the kingdom of God. No man can know God except the Son of God revealing. Reveal. It's by revelation. Can't see God, can't know God, except He make Himself known to us. It's a person. Salvation is not a doctrine or a concept or a theory or a state of whatever. It's a person. You know a person. The Son of God hath come, John said, and given us an understanding that we might know Him. It's a person. Not a creed, not a denomination, not something you do. It's someone. All right, look at the next thing. So salvation by revelation offends man's wisdom. And then the next thing our Lord said in our text of John and Luke chapter 7, He said, go show John again how the blind see and the lame walk. The lame walk. For the sake of time, I won't have you turn, but over in Luke chapter 5, Christ was standing there and a crowd of people were all around Him. Like religion today. Everybody, believe Jesus and they come. Our Lord said, you will not come unto me that you might have life. But they're all around Him. He said, you will not come unto me that you might have life. But they were all around Him. But they hadn't come to Him for life, for forgiveness of sin, because they were dead and they'd be raised. They weren't calling on the Lord for mercy, for grace, for salvation. They were come because of the miracles. They were come because they got their bellies filled. They were come to get something out of them, but it wasn't salvation. And our Lord said, you will not come unto me. You will not come to the Lord Jesus Christ for mercy, for grace, for forgiveness of sin, for pardon. You will not come because nobody believes they need it. He said, you will not. Man will not come to Christ for the thing you really need because he's blind. And he's lame. In John chapter 6, our Lord said that no man can. No man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. No man can. Nobody will and nobody can. Why? They're dead. They're lame. They're lame. And our Lord said it twice. I'm going to say it again. He said, no man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him and I will raise them up. This is the will of the Father. The truth of a sovereign Lord, of salvation of the Lord, of man dead in trespasses and sin, of man who will not come to Christ, of man who cannot come to Christ unless the Father brings him and draws him, that offends man's will. That offends man's ability. Blessed, if you're blessed if you're not offended by hearing this. There was a time when I would not come to worship God. I was not interested. I didn't need that. I was a child of the 60s and 70s, you know, born in the 50s, raised in the 60s and 70s, the enlightened generation. That's so blind. Blind leader of the blind, and we were all about to fall, we all were in the ditch. All me and my buddies. But God, through the preaching of the gospel, reached down, plucked me as a brand from the burning, out of the miry clay, out of the pit, brought me up out of a horrible pit that set my feet on a rock. Christ Jesus opened my blind eyes, had me come hear the gospel. I was lame. They had me come hear the gospel and sit. And now, by God's grace, I believe I'm clothed and in my right mind. But you tell people they can't come, don't know God, can't come to God, it offends them. Doesn't offend me. Does it offend you? Blessed if you're not offended. Doesn't offend me. I wouldn't come. I couldn't come if he hadn't drawn me. If I hadn't been fetched like Mephibosheth, I wouldn't have come. But God. And I was blind. Blind to myself, blind to God, blind to the truth, blind to the world. But God. Doesn't offend me. I must be one of the blessed. How about you? Look at the next thing. He said, blessed are the lepers that are cleansed. Go show John again. Lepers are cleansed. Lepers. Very little leprosy today. You hear of any cases of leprosy? Very few. If you look, there's a few in the poorer country. Leprosy, and man thinks he's cured it. Okay? It's kind of like smallpox, you know. You know, it's breaking out again. Tuberculosis, all these diseases, man thinks, we've got that cure. It's coming back. Wouldn't surprise me if there's not a great outbreak of it. The man thinks, we've cured leprosy. It's an old fashioned. No. It's rampant. God says about man. This is what God says about man. Man being blind, doesn't see it. God says, from the sole of the foot unto the head, there's no soundness in man. Nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that have not been closed up, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Did God look down from heaven upon the sons of men and says it altogether filthy? The word is stinking in God's eyes. Everything about corrupt from his evil. It says the imagination of man is evil from his youth up continually, every day, all day. The moment he wakes up, he goes to sleep. That's what God says about man. Does this offend you? It offends most people. It doesn't offend me. You know why? Because I still see it in me. This awful disease. David said, my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, didn't he? Psalm 38, didn't he? You know, you're blessed. You're blessed. This gospel's for sinners. And the only reason the best woman in here is not walking the streets tonight as a harlot is the grace of God. The mercy of God keeping you from it. And you don't deserve salvation any more than the woman still on the street. And the only reason God is going to show mercy to you is because Christ died. Not anything good in you. Leper. He said that to the Laodiceans, didn't he? Church, good church people. He said, you don't know. You just don't realize you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. He said, I urge you to buy, I say, but to open your eyes. And that's what happens then for God's people. We look into this book, and you know what we see? We see me. That's me. That's what God said. And that's what I see in me. And then we see another face. Light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Forgiveness of sin. Mercy and grace for such vile creature. In the face, the person, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Him crucified. We see a face. And our sins make us sad, and Christ's death and blood makes us glad. Cleanses us. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. You go show John again, lepers are cleansed. There was a story years ago of a missionary to India in the time when leprosy was rampant on this earth still. Paris Reedhead was his name, a missionary to India. And he said he was going back through the bush, and the natives were before him cutting the bush. And they were going into the highways and the hedges looking for people to preach the gospel to. And he said he heard the most horrible cry. Help me. Somebody help me. And they kept cutting through that bush, and it got louder and louder. Help me. Somebody help me. And he said he came through the bushes and he saw the most horrible sight he'd ever seen in his life. He said there was a man lying on the ground in the last stages of leprosy. He said both his arms were gone. His legs were gone. His face was just mass of flesh and flies all over. No eyes this time. True story. And he's holding those nubs. Somebody help me. And Paris Reedhead, that missionary, thought, you know, he could do nothing for him. He said, if only I could take him and embrace him and put that leprous face up to mine and put that filthy, stinking body up to mine. And in part, put my health in him. And take his leprosy into me. Take his place. Give him what I've got to cure him. But he couldn't. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ did. That's what God sees in us. God, you can't preach the gospel without that. Sent his son. When it says he was made sin, he came down here. God laid on him the iniquity of all of his people. He made sin who knew no sin. He imparted his life and he died. He took this sin and God punished him. What you'll see when you see the cross, you'll see who God really is, holy. Will by no means clear the guilty. You'll see what God really thinks about sin, about man. You see what man thinks about God, killing. About what man thinks about holiness. We don't like that. We love sin. But God. Christ was made sin for them. He who knew no sin. That they might be made the righteousness of God. Substitution. Does this offend you? Calling you a leper? We don't know the half of it. Look at the next thing. Hey, don't show John again that the deaf hear. The deaf hear. Our Lord said, having ears to hear, they don't hear. In fact, listen to this. The Lord told Isaiah, go preach and stop up their ears. They have ears. They hear, but they won't hear. They hear it. And Brother David preached on this. One Lord. One hope, one faith, one way, one truth, one calling, one who does the choosing, one who does the saving, one. Salvation is by one. One person, one work, not man. Said, what's hard to understand about that? About one. David said, wasn't much good in algebra. But he said, when I first found out one, I always knew what one was. One means one. You know, salvation is not you and God, you and Jesus, what you do, and he did, and he did, and you do. No, it's by one. By one offering, he hath perfected for everything that are sanctified. By one. When he had by himself purged our sin. One elect, chosen of God. Everyone's elected, chosen in one, in him. The way, the truth, the life. That's not my message, but it is my message. One way. One way. And it's not hard to understand, but men and women and people don't like it. They hear it. They read it. That's what it says. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. All our righteousness are filthy rags. That's what Isaiah 64:6 said. Okay? That's what God's Word said. It's not your decisions, it's not your works, it's not your decisions, it's not anything you have done. Salvation is completely Jesus Christ, what He has done. Who does He do it for? Whom He will. It's not your will. It's His will. It's His choice. It's one. Men see that. They read that. I don't like that. Not that they don't understand it. I don't like that. I will not have that. I will not have a sovereign God. I'm not that bad. God's not that holy. Oh, yes, He is. And yes, you are. I'm not dead. I'm not blind. I'm not unworthy. I'm not this. Oh, yes, you are. God said so. They see it. I don't believe that. Death, willfully. The Scripture says, the time will come, and now is, when they turn away their ears from the truth. I don't want to hear that. And I'm going to go somewhere where a man will tell me how much God loved me. I'm going to go somewhere where a man will tell me how much Jesus loved me and died for me and standing outside, and I'll accept Him when I get ready. And God has stopped their ears. And some of you were in that religion, weren't you? Huh? Right there, that's it. A whole bunch of them. Death. Won't hear that. But God. You see, if He hadn't chosen you, John Sheehan Sr., you would never have heard this. You would never believe this. You're sitting there right now. There was a time you might have heard it and said, I don't believe that. But God said, that's one of my elect. That's my chosen. And He said His Holy Spirit through the preaching of the gospel. Said, John, you were blind. John, you were a leper. John, you could not come. You would not come, but I've drawn you through the preaching of the gospel. John, be thou opened, O ears. And you heard who God was, and you heard what you were, and you heard who Jesus Christ is. You repented of your sin. You came to Him. It's all of God. It's all of God. Go show John again. Oh, I hope and pray He does it for somebody else whose ears are stopped. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes, He said, and the deaf people that have ears. He said, you're My chosen, whom I have chosen that you might know Me, that I'm God, there is none else. He said, I've saved, I've declared it, I've done it all. You hear that? To a leper, to a sinner, the gospel is such good news that He did it all, isn't it? The truth of revelation offends man's wisdom. The truth of the dead. Here's the last thing. Go show John again that the dead are raised. To the poor, the gospel is preached. The dead are raised. Time is coming, our Lord said, and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God and live. And the Scripture says, and you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespass and sin. By grace are you saved. Sovereign, electing, calling, redeeming, quickening, grace that raises a dead sinner to walk in newness of life. The truth of man being dead in sin offends man's worth, man's holiness, man's goodness. And the poor, He said, have the gospel preached. Are you poor? Oh, the poor have the gospel preached. Beggar. There was a poor blind man sitting by the wayside one time, dressed in rags. But he's blind, he can't see his rag. And he's poor, he doesn't have anything. He's a beggar. He's totally dependent on somebody doing something for him. He's blind, he's poor, he's a beggar, he's dressed in rags, all right? He heard. Somebody told him. First thing, faith cometh by hearing. Somebody said, there's a man named Jesus of Nazareth that they say is the Christ. And in the scriptures, in Isaiah 35, it says the Christ will come and heal the blind. And the lame will walk. And the deaf will hear. And lepers will be cleansed. And the poor have the gospel preached. And they say this Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ. That he's come. And we heard that he's healed blind men, just like you, Bartimaeus. We heard that. We heard that he's healed the lame, that lepers have been cleansed. I mean, lepers born that way. Conceived in iniquity. He's healed them. He heard. And somebody said, today, he's here. What did he do? He cried out. He called. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be, Jesus, thou son of David, Christ, he said. Jesus the Christ. The one who is to come, have mercy on me like that leper. Help me, help me. You know what the Lord Jesus did? He stopped. God, walking this earth, so much to do, so many say, he stopped for one blind beggar, poor, needy, worthless, in rags. Think, he stopped and he said, bring him to me. Bring him to me. And they did. They brought him to Christ. And the Lord opened his eyes. He was in rags. He took away, he took away those rags and gave him a new robe. Cleansed him right then. Healed his blind eyes, his deaf ears, his leprosy, the Lord's still doing it. He's still doing it. And oh, how blessed are those who've been healed of all these infirmities. Blessed if not offended. Does this gospel offend you? One time many went away and walked no more with him. They said, we can't hear this. This is hard. We can't take this. We're not that bad. And we can't take this. And they walked no more with him. And he said to his disciples, does this offend you? Will you also go away? Simon Peter said, where? To whom? This is life. This is what you did for us. You did all these things for us, didn't you? I hope and pray you'll do that for somebody else. You know that? The gospel's still being preached. And somebody in this room is all these things. May the Lord open blind eyes, deaf ears, cause the lame to come to him, cleanse them of their sin, and hear this blessed gospel, raise them from the dead. All right. Brother John, you come, lead us, closing hymn.